Okay, this challenge that I've thrown out to you to talk to me a little bit about the garbage disposal problem is one that somebody has taken up here. They say that as a waste hauler and I want to dump garbage, I must go to Wildy and buy a ticket book, which, by the way, is very expensive and inconvenient. If I'm working in St. Philip, I would take my garbage to Armagh Quarry and pay between $30 and $60 to dump. Please note that I have to pay. Now, please tell me why this simple procedure cannot be adopted at SBRC. It's not that we truckers don't want to pay, but it is the excessively high costs and inconvenience that turns away the truckers from SBRC. Now, a balance really has to be struck between taking care of the environment and recognizing that it costs to do so. And why I think we need to look at this is that in all circumstances, but especially now, where you have these financial difficulties, we are going to be seriously challenged to be able to tackle this problem without having to pay for it. The overall challenge and difficulty that I see facing us is that at every turn, it seems as though you're going to find yourself having to pay more for this and more for that. And the balance has to be struck there, because there are some people who, once they are being asked to pay or pay more, they're going to make a choice and say, but you know, well, if I can find a shortcut, if I can escape that, then let me do so. And the net effect of it is likely to be a worsening situation. So it is delicately poised. You don't want to make the situation worse. But people who have invested money in projects that are aimed at trying to tackle this problem will also tell you that they need to make a reasonable return on the investment. Otherwise, it makes no sense. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hi. Good morning, David.
Yes.
I mean, Holy Christ here.
Yes, good morning.
David.
Yes.
Hi. We only have a waste management problem in the country because of indifference, you know.
On
government as well as the consumers. Because if a Barbadian leaves Barbados today or this evening and goes to the UK, he has to adopt the attitude of recycling. But here in Barbados, we find it hard to even look at what's happening through the world as it relates to plastic and styrofoam containers.
Well, let's make contact with two issues. One is attitude, but the other is cost. Now, talk to me about how you see the cost changing for the average person if they are to do it the right way.
Okay, there are two models that are happening in this country as we speak. You have the Atlantic Shores Recycling Network, which is a partnership between the Future Center Trust and the Atlantic Shores Neighborhood Watch, as well as you have recyclers, where every second last Saturday in the month, these persons bring their recyclables, be it papers, be it consumer waste such as magazines, plastic bottles, glass, computers. They put them all at one location, and you have recyclers who come and collect. You have that also happening in Ocean City, where every last Saturday in the month, you have different recyclers passing through and collecting. Now, we've tried to work with the last administration to see if we can get that duplicated through the Caribbean. For one, it doesn't cost the government
through
one
the
cent.
Through the Caribbean? You mean through Barbados? Because they don't through have
Barbados,
any control
right.
over the Caribbean.
Right. For Barbados. Mm-hmm. So I understand, it doesn't cost the government one cent. You get the people to do the right thing.
May I ask you, though? Just stop. Let's be realistic. If people are volunteering to do that on a pilot basis, you know it still costs them something to drive through a neighborhood. And when you take into consideration the cost of petrol has gone up, people are going to come back to you even if they're absorbing those costs now. They're not going to be able to absorb those costs forever. So the true cost of the project is not yet known. And it is not being passed on. Ultimately, that cost must be passed on to the people from whom you are collecting the garbage.
But see, David, but the model can work if you have a lot more, in terms of the, if you have a mass appeal doing it.
If it has mass appeal?
In terms of a lot of people doing it, because then you find you have better economies of scale.
Yeah, so, because it will, the economies of scale, yes, because you will also be asking the people from whom you're collecting the waste to pay something for it.
Yeah, but if you're paying a proper corn fee, it's worth it because, you know, David, in 2014...
Have you worked out the costings on this? You asked the government, the former administration, to assist you in this project. That's what you just told us.
Yeah,
but
I
assume that you had some costings done on what people would have to pay the peppercorn that you talk about based upon the whole concept. What's David, that? What was that?
David, we did not do any cost analysis.
Why not?
What I can say to you, because we didn't have the time to do it, and it was not my remit.
But you admit that if you want anybody to take you seriously on a project like that, you needed to do a cost analysis.
David, I think what was happening is that you have recyclers in Barbados who put country before their bottom line, which is not sustainable, I must say.
Precisely.
And you had a situation whereby in 2014, a landfill cost $24.99 million. Now, we can continue to throw or divert our waste straight to landfill. But you know what, David? We produce as much as 1,300 tons of waste daily, where 95% of that is recyclable. Do you know
Mr. Holder, let me ask you this question. You talked about what you put to the former administration. What discussions are you having with the current administration on this problem, though?
Well, we are waiting a meeting with the Minister of the Environment and the Prime Minister to discuss.
You have a proposal? We have a costed proposal?
We have proposals. The Senate Trust have proposals. We have worked with people from McGill University and other stakeholders.
How much can you tell us about what you are proposing to
government? I'm just a director for the Senate Trust. I am not involved in day-to-day running, but we, our administrator, have met with different stakeholders. We're coordinating meetings with the people in the marine industry. We are recyclers, people involved in eco businesses. We're also looking to promote what is known as the circular economy, because you have situations in Barbados where there's a lot of dumping taking place as it relates to appliances.
I'm getting a signal here that we need to come out, but stay with us, because when we come back after the regional roundup and the headlines for the news for 12:30, then we're going to continue this discussion because it's important to us. Down to brass tacks. Well, let me tell you, there seems to have been some action. We've been able to get some action on this issue of the garbage that has piled up outside the old Fairchild Street Market here on Fairchild Street River Road. A truck is currently out there with a bobcat, and the Minister of the Environment, Trevor Prescott, is also there. He's spoken with us for the news, but I'm also hoping that he will come in here to speak with us here on Down to Brass Tacks for a short while, looking not just specifically at that particular issue. Somebody says here to me that the last caller had mentioned the Atlantic Shores recycling project going island-wide, and the conversation went on to talk about how much it would cost. However, this person thinks that we were looking at it in the wrong way. They say that they would, the people would charge to collect the garbage eventually. The first thing is, they say they are not collecting garbage, they are collecting recyclables that they can then sell in some form or fashion to make money. So they would be getting the material free, which that material would then be used to make some money. The same way that they say that the SBRC sells compost, etc. We need to stop calling everything garbage and get technical with our discussion, says the writer, if you want to solve this problem. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Yeah, hi, David. Yeah. You see, one of the biggest problems you have too in the country is that we commingle our consumer waste. So a lot of stuff like banana peel and newspaper are all commingled, and then you have a problem with that. Now, I want to frame the conversation going forward. The white goods that are dumped don't need to be dumb. Sanitation will collect them for free. The mail dump may be closed, but persons can call and they can have them collected. Electronic goods can also be exported. There's some recyclers and barbers that will collect them for free. Now,
some.
Years ago,
you see, but my problem with the way that this is being discussed right now is that, to my mind, it appears to skirt the reality that there is money in garbage, and there is a cost associated to dealing with it, and it is difficult to see how pilot projects can be sustained as pilot projects for too long once the people involved have to absorb costs in trying to make it happen. So this is really, to me, this is the biggest problem that we face. That we got, there's a price tag that is being attached to most of these efforts, even if somebody is absorbing the cost right now.
Now, it's interesting that you're saying that, because your standard is very correct. Now, concessions are given for tourism, health, whatever it is. But you know, recycling, which protects our environment, nobody gets concessions. You have a company of Barbados that collects old magazines and paper. And I mean, these companies are not given any concessionary loans. They're not even any grant funding. We have a problem whereby persons are taking green waste like grass and putting it on the curbside. There's something called grass cycling. Where even in 1999, the government of Toronto banned persons from putting grass on the side of the road. Now, grass cycling is something simple. It's that you cut your grass maybe every 3 weeks or so. So then it helps to form nutrients as well as compost for your grass. We also have to look at the CARICOM perspective. There's something called the EPR. But the European Union has said to international manufacturers, your product must be given a minimum life. Whereby, if your product breaks down, let's say within 2 years, let's say a washing machine, you have to replace it for free. In addition, CARICOM needs to look at having a joint approach to these international manufacturers, whereby the environmental cost is built in
right.
to the product.
We've got a lot of ideas here as to what should be done. And as I said to you, my great difficulty with a lot of the talk is that it doesn't make contact with the costs associated with these things. And I have here the Minister of the Environment, Trevor Prescott, has just joined us. Accompanied by Alf from the Sanitation Service Authority. Minister, I'm sure you just had a chance to go and look at this problem across the road that we've been complaining about for a couple of days. It really is unsightly. I'm sure you would agree with that.
Of course.
What as far as I am told, it's a private waste hauler is responsible for that, as opposed to the Sanitation Service Authority?
Well, for the skip.
For the
skip. Apparently, from the information which I received, the skip belongs to a private hauler.
How representative is this of the problem that others are facing in this country, where garbage can be piling up for days, and I can tell you that's the problem out there.
Right.
People throw the garbage outside of the skip, inside of the skip, but the bottom line is that it really is awful. How representative is this?
Well, I would like to speak on the wider issue of garbage. That specific case we have to address now. I got a call today, and the opinions that came across was that the sanitation department was directly responsible for what was happening here, and that in recent months or so, the problem has intensified. The reality is that the skip that we have here, belongs to a private person. And on numerous occasions, we had to come to the same location and help to clean up the mess that was accumulated there. So this is probably one of many occasions which we had to come and do this job. But I want to make it very clear to the general public of Barbados, this is not as a result of the sanitation not responding to its responsibilities to make sure we keep the environment clean in general.
Well, your big issue here is that this was supposed to be mission critical, one of the mission critical issues. What's happening with the issue of the garbage trucks, the arrival of garbage trucks?
And David, I know that you would answer me that question immediately when you came to me. We are still in a bad situation with a limited amount of trucks being available.
How many trucks do you have on a daily basis?
We have, I don't even know if I should say daily, we have about 16 trucks that are functional at present. But on a regular basis during the day, sometimes those numbers drop down by 4 or 5 trucks. On one occasion we went down for a few days to 8 trucks. So what we've been trying to do is to get the adequate number of trucks in the island, at least so that we can service the entire country. What we've also been doing is rather than having one shift or so, sometimes 2 or 3 shifts, and you'll probably see garbage trucks out on Saturdays and Sundays, bank holidays. Sometimes when a situation becomes extremely intense and excessive amount of garbage or anything accumulated in some areas, we have a special service that will go off to that location and do the cleaning.
You say you're trying to get these additional trucks. Yeah. Now, we are all aware of what the Prime Minister had to say a few days ago about people leaving to source trucks and being followed around the place and the directors being asked to come home. Now, the question arises as to, in the absence of executing that particular operation to get the trucks then, what is the alternative? What are we doing? And how has that delayed the whole process?
Well, based on the unconventional things that really occurred, let me first say that I was not on that trip. I want to make that very clear. But we sent 3 persons up, 2 mechanics, and we also sent up the chairman. They went up to Halifax. As a result of the tenders arrangement, there were 3 companies up there who could have supplied the number of trucks that we wanted.
And how many are you looking for?
That is, we are talking about 15 trucks at the time.
Right.
But we had to go and to do the required inspections, so we made sure we tried to get the best that was available to us to go up and inspect those trucks.
Who's the chairman?
The chairman is Mr. Headley.
And he specializes in trucks?
No, he's the chairman of the board. And there must be somebody at the level of administration that must also accompany the 2 other technical persons, because obviously you have to be making other arrangements outside the technical areas, technical in terms of being synonymous with mechanical and those things like. But the administrative part of it, administrator must be always present at the time.
But the chairman is the administrator?
Well, the chairman he presides over a board. And the board examines all the facts.
So the manager isn't the administrator?
But the manager could go or the chairman could go. Is that an issue? A deputy can go. That is not the issue.
Okay. Right. But anyhow, 15 trucks you were seeking in Halifax.
Yeah.
And this mission was cut short.
Yes.
And my question is, how has that impacted on mission critical?
Well, I don't think... I think obviously we had to... because of what we call unconventional things that were unexpected. We obviously had to answer some questions. We were getting signals that we were not of the most positive nature. And as a consequence, we decided to cut that mission. But those persons were able to see went to the 3 locations that they left specifically to go to. They all examined the trucks that they went to see, and they have all sent forward reports on the experience up there.
So what's the ETA now on these trucks? Estimated time of arrival?
No. Well, as a consequence of what has transpired, the reality is because they are cloudy areas, we have to wait to when the clouds are clear.
What does that mean, waiting until the clouds are clear? What exactly does that mean?
Well, the reality is that if we felt that there were a number of issues that were not within the conventional practices or anything like that that occurred, I just used metaphorical language in order to...
We understand. We can read between the lines to some extent. But the issue, I mean, on this is you down to 8 trucks on some occasions.
Yeah.
And we are scrambling out here as members of the public with respect to what you've seen, for instance, out here in River Road today. So most people would want to get some sense. I mean, we got the impression that the mission was cut short and that they didn't get a chance to do all that they were required to do. You're saying otherwise that even though the mission was curtailed, they were able to see enough?
Yeah, they saw enough. But the reality is that in arranging the trip, it is not Barbados to St. Lucia, Barbados to St. Vincent. So you had some extra time, which would have been there, right? So although the mission was cut short, the reality is that the department did what they had to do.
Were we likely to incur additional costs as a consequence of what took place?
Minor.
Minor additional costs?
Minor.
Okay. So let us move now. You can give us an ETA on the arrival of these trucks. But
we're hoping that we're working within the same schedule. Okay. We're hoping that we work within the same schedule.
Fine. Now, overall, where do you see us going in trying to tackle the problem? In the time that you have been in this ministry, this problem is far bigger than just the issue of trucks. We have had the talk about plasma gasification versus recycling. We have had the old discussion about what has been happening with the what we call the dump,
mangroves,
the landfill.
Mangroves.
Right. What is your vision for trying to tackle this problem?
Well, first of all, everything has a history. I came into the ministry, limited resources being available to us. We had to appoint a board. I had to do a lot of touring. There's a new building constructed at Vault Close. I had to go and inspect that. We had challenges with the storage plant. In the city of Bridgetown, I had to work in collaboration with Minister Abrams. Then we had to continue the struggle with the South Coast storage plant. Then we had a fire at Mangrove. So in addition to that, sometimes because of the limited revenue that is available to government, we of course we have the personnel and we have a government with the capability of going forward. But the reality that we have to face the financial constraints, and probably that is what has also influenced us not to go directly for new trucks, but to have some kind of reconditioned trucks coming into the island. Obviously, the recycling issue is one of the major topics now on the international horizon. Wherever you go, people are talking about recycling. We are working on a program for the division of the various forms of wastage. We are also fully aware of things like plastics, styrofoam,
white metal.
Yeah. There's so many different areas at present that we have to deal with. All of these things really required professional assessment from the technical staff within the ministry. When it comes now to the we're looking at in mission critical, we're looking at a national cleanup program, but obviously we have to take into consideration for a number of years we have not been able to move derelict vehicles from around homes. We have to make sure we move cautiously in relation to not going and picking up a car from somebody's house and then have to face some form of legal action as a consequence of that. So I inherit these challenges. Some of the agents who are responsible for the recycling in the country. The question is the amount of waste that we have in Barbados at present. These people must have also the capacity to be able to take this, the so-called garbage and the waste. The metal, last week and a week before, I had discussion with Scrapman, which is a private company. They were taking a limited amount because obviously if we begin to deliver it the way it must be delivered, he has to upgrade the level of the staff which he has because he has to dismantle the cars. The SBRC, we had a discussion with them as well. They're now saying that we'll expand. We're ready to work in collaboration with government to address these issues. So the ministry is very energetic. It is moving. I want to thank all the staff, from even the workers at the sanitation department. We are really doing a job as though we are magicians in the circumstances.
Here's a comment that you need to respond to. Hmm. Say, we should use whatever budget we have allocated for this venture to buy new trucks. They say, number one, a new truck with preventative maintenance can work for a year, 24 hours a day. A used truck can't do that. The other thing is that we should be buying American trucks as opposed to European trucks. Why? The big haulers in Barbados have all gone to the U.S. Reason is simple. An American truck is built and designed to haul from South Florida to Canada multiple times without breaking down. Reliability is built in, and some manufacturers have engines that are guaranteed to run a million miles without overhauling. I add to that the whole question of maintenance within the SSA. And on top of all of this is the financial situation plaguing the Sanitation Service Authority, which has been outlined by government. Against that backdrop, people feel that going the route of used vehicles is not the best thing.
Well, that's probably a subjective opinion, especially if somebody comes and tells me that the best vehicles would come out of the United States of America. I can't tell you if the best would come out of America. I know we've had some good vehicles coming from there. We've had some good vehicles coming from various parts of Europe, in England, Germany, all around. Based on the the experts, the people who I would classify so as the persons who can make that analysis, I took the advice of them. They felt that the English market was the best market. We obviously looked at China, we looked at Japan, we looked at Brazil, we looked at the United States of America. We did not exclude anybody.
Right, but very quickly, tell me, before we get to the news, how do you propose to tackle this problem of the financial crisis facing the SSA?
Well, you're fully aware that quite recently, the government made some amendments to the Sanitation Act. The government also made amendments to the Barbados Water Authority Act, and there is a levy on water, which is probably a nice contemporary form of getting around something that might have some form of psychological challenge, but we have to get revenue. These are essential services. The taxes you would have seen that we put a $1.25 per day on each household.
But you said nothing about efficiencies.
Right. You asked about the financial aspect.
But there's a link between the two.
Yeah. But we are going to get wrong to that. Obviously, all the regulations that are required to make sure the checks and balances are in place for how finance is transferred and how people administrate things. You have a whole cadre of persons, the board, management, the ministry, the cabinet, everything. So we're going to be very prudent, and I don't want you to judge us based on what you've experienced within the last 10 or 11 years in Barbados. You can rest assured that we have designed a progressive program as a political party, and I believe that we have also competent persons.
What's the next step in terms of the interface between yourselves and the management structure and the political structure and the workers themselves? What's the next step in trying to get them on board?
Well, they are on board. They're on board. I have my public relations officer here. I wanted to respond to you quickly, and that you would have seen my permanent secretary there. The acting general manager, I believe they should be on the outside at present. We have a very harmonious relationship. I consider all of them as efficient and competent individuals, and you can rest assured that you will see signs of positive signs as this SSA go forward.
Thank you very much.
You probably can help us with some of the public relation work in the future.
Well, as long as you're paying Star Comedy, you always get our support, you know. But thanks for this impromptu interview. We took advantage of the fact that you went across there to see the problem that we were talking about.
And you attempted to take advantage of me.
Well, not advantage. I just want you to communicate with the public as best as you can. All right? And keep them informed of what's going on. Yeah, Thank you very much.
Thanks, David. Thanks.
Down to brass tacks. Would you believe that while the minister was out there, where the garbage is now being picked up, it looks as though they're going to end up with at least 2 truckloads of garbage from out there. There's a possibility they can have 3. But they had to stop a man from bringing the entrails and internal organs of some animals because he had 6 bags to dump out there. 6 bags. Now, one of the people who operates a business nearby believes that it's not going to stop out there until they actually find some people for the way that they're disposing of garbage out there. Now, those entrails needed to be dealt with differently. But he felt that the best way of disposing of them was to come and pelt them inside there, and, you know, the people out there would have to deal with that. He didn't have to deal with it at his home. It is unacceptable what people do. And then turn to the government to solve the problem. And that is part of the major readjustment that must take place in this country, is that we have to take responsibility for Barbados rather than just pointing the accusing finger all the time and ignoring what our own responsibility is. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Yes, that is a blessed day to you, sir.
Yes, sir. And to you?
Thank you kindly. I trust that your weekend was a beautiful one, you and the family as well. And I wish that the entire week remains that way for you in the station, you know?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Miss Alice, the topic that I wanted to discuss with you today, I am going to divert from that, and it would have been on the spirit of benevolence as well. See? But this one, I'm going to leave that because that's a long and very...
It's a heavy topic.
It is, yes. It really is. And I just wanted to highlight some aspects of it, which I wanted to make mention to you that the words that men have created and put and an explanation to those words are words that were done by men like you and I. And those same words are used or can be used against the very man himself. And what I have observed and noticed that these particular words are embraced by, let's say, the nation or the world, or by man himself, more so than the word and precepts and laws of God himself. And I wanted to go down that road with you, but today, seeing that is going to be, it's heavy and it's really detailed and deep, and I'm sure you would understand if we had to go into it, see? But having heard 2 reports just now, one about the factory, the $500 million factory, and what the sugar producers or the chairman of that industry have said in the little excerpt that I heard, I find it kind of to be very concerning in that, why and how come, I have not heard it, these same persons or chairman or association did not say to the public then when this thing was introduced or talked about and the factory was closed down. Mr. Ellis, I do not remember hearing one word of objection to the work that the factory was supposed to have undertaken and produce in Barbados the project, the products of it. I did not hear one single word of that. Did you?
I know that there have been many questions asked and alternative views advanced on this whole question of this $500 million proposal. You may also recall that there was a clear division even within, well, not within the cabinet, let me say between the former Minister of Education, of Agriculture rather, and the former Minister of Finance on that. So there were differences at various levels on it. So I suspect you might have been listening to hear only perhaps the people who are speaking today, but others were speaking about it. And that's why it never really got off the ground. Do you remember that?
I know it didn't get off the ground, but I don't remember.
You don't remember that there were apparent differences between the Minister of Finance and the former Minister of Agriculture on it?
Yeah, there was some talk about that, about the planting of the
No, about the cost and the fact that the country's debt was already high, and how were you going to address the fact that the costs were what they were?
But nevertheless, I don't remember that, but nevertheless, it was still earmarked, and the factory was closed down even then, and it would have happened. They would have had to discuss these matters before it would have been closed down. And then if...
You are satisfied that as a member of the public, you knew enough about what was happening with that project up to the end of the last administration?
Well, I only know what they said that it was going to... It was.
But that's all you got? You only got what the intention was?
But yeah, but
you got nothing more than that?
Right, but this is what I'm saying to you.
And that the place get pulled down or whatever you call it, popped down, that's the term they use now.
Right, but this is what I'm saying now, that
having... It gets dragged down and then it looks popped down. That's the problem.
But that's what I'm saying, that now that the chairman is saying what he said, that they were never in favor of it and so on. That's what I'm saying, that I don't remember hearing...
The chairman of BSIL?
The chairman that... just now on your news, I think,
because I spoke with the person who is the new chairman of BSIL some time ago. This was quite a couple of weeks ago on this issue, and they felt that they were more inclined to go in a different direction. Now, what I'm also sensing from BSIL is that it is not the men who are in their 60s and 70s who are running BSIL right now. A new group of Barbadians has taken over that particular institution, and they are looking to take BSIL in a completely different direction. So they have a whole set of ideas and proposals that they are putting to government as to how they believe the private sector can take the sugar industry in a new direction.
And this is a new board. This is one since the government had taken over the
I think that they might have been in place before the government changed, though. I don't think, having said that, I don't think it was a very long, they have not been entrenched in BSIL for a very long time as the leadership. So it's a relatively new set of leaders that came to the fore just prior to the change of government.
So let's hear fresh thinking.
Fresh thinking. I would think that that's safe to put it that way.
Now, the next thing I want to mention to you is, I remember, I think I said a week or so ago, it might have been a week or a little more. I don't remember if it was you I said to Mr. Johnson or Mr. Pricer, that I thought, in my view, that the Prime Minister's calls, and she said, she told the Minister, tell them to come home. This is the, you know, when...
You spoke to me about it.
It was you, right. I thought that her action was rash.
Premature.
No.
You heard the minister today, though.
Right, but hear this. But you can imagine that you have a situation which has escalated, and you said to him, what about the mission?
Mission critical.
Mission critical. And you have outside of your office. Now, you say to ministers, come home. There is no talk as to what is the position about the same truck, when they're going to arrive, and things of that sort. And yet the country is in a critical situation about the garbage, which has been piling up, not only now, but since you came into office as well, and which is critical.
No, you meant to say before they came to office.
I said, but you could put it however you want, but even now then.
No. But both.
But if it was bad then, it hasn't got any better.
Well, the fact is that they're now down to 8 trucks a day.
It's worse.
I don't know that it is worse. We're down to 8 trucks a day. I don't know how many times that we're down to 8 trucks under the Democratic Labour Party administration, because people didn't tell us those things.